Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and this is Stuff You Should Know, the podcast.
Greetings, Earthlings.
Hello, everyone.
Brains, brains, brains.
That's right.
That's my intro.
That you didn't do it 10 times, though.
Oh, no one wants to hear that.
And we're not going to even talk about 10 brain myths. We, even though this episode is called 10 Myths About the Brain.
Yeah, if you're new to the show and you've never heard us do one of our famous top 10s, then you probably don't know. We rarely cover all 10.
Yeah.
We will tease you a bit with 6 to 8 and then say, go read the article if you want the other ones.
Exactly.
And in this case, we've actually covered a couple of the things before.
Right.
So there's no point in rehashing.
Exactly.
So that, I guess I just felt the need to explain that.
You laid the ground rules pretty well, man.
So a top 10 that is really not 10.
So we have brains.
Yes.
In our heads. Mm-hmm. And I think most people walk around feeling like they have some ideas about the brain, some understanding. But it turns out that some of them are wrong. There's myths out there.
Yeah.
And some of them have kind of interesting, weird origins, too.
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty cool article because we've covered the brain a lot and it's one of our favorite subjects.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to root out some of these things that a couple of these I thought were true.
Well, for example, like your brain is gray.
I thought that to be true.
Well, and it's understandable why, too, because people call the brain gray matter.
Sure.
Apparently, Hercule Poirot, well, I just said that like a dog.
No, that was right. That's an odd name to have to say, though.
Yeah, it is.
Hercule,
especially,
please.
Especially from my tongue.
Marble mouth.
He used to call his brains his gray cells.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody thinks the brain is gray. And it is gray. There are very much lots of gray areas called gray matter. But there's other colors to the brain, too.
Yeah, this kind of knocked me out because I had no idea that the brain was also white, black, and red. Mm-hmm. Like our Georgia Bulldogs and Atlanta Falcons tears
right.
Laughing in there.
Everybody's brain's walking around a Bulldog fan.
So like you said, there is a lot of gray matter. Cells, neurons, mm-hmm. connecting to each other. There's also white matter.
Well, that's the stuff that connects them.
Well, the white matter is the nerve fibers, right?
Right. That, okay. So it connects like your gray matter regions to one another.
Gotcha. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But what about the substantia nigra? Mm-hmm. Latin for black substance.
Yeah.
That it is part of your brain is black. I would think that would be scary.
Yeah.
Like it's dead.
You'd think so. But the that region of the brain, it has to do with motor control, like fine control.
Yeah.
And that's they think that possibly that's where Parkinson's damage comes from.
Okay.
Or Parkinson's disease is located there.
Right.
And the reason it's black is because of neuromelanin,
uh-huh.
which is a pigment. And I was very curious why your brain would need any kind of pigment whatsoever.
Yeah. Did you get to that?
Yeah. It turns out they don't know.
Oh.
But they think that it basically takes it removes heavy metals from your bloodstream from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that they also think that it has to do with – there's a adrenochrome. Do you remember that from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yes.
So that stuff is real. and your brain produces it as a byproduct of some of its normal processes. And we would all be totally psychotic, apparently, from this stuff if it wasn't for neuromelanin, they think, basically getting rid of it.
So we depend on that color. Well, yeah, that pigment, at least.
Right.
Wow.
Not for coloring in this case, but for some other stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't. The reason we think gray, besides people calling it gray matter, is because usually when we see a brain, it's floating in a jar.
Yeah.
And it has been turned gray from the formaldehyde and stuff.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find any kind of picture of like an active brain with all these colors.
Yeah.
I guess that's impossible. Unless they just, you know,
peel your skull off and take a picture real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure those exist. Why couldn't I find a picture?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they do brain surgery, you know, with a healthy living brain.
I didn't look super hard, though.
Yeah.
That's the secret.
So there you go. Red, black, white, and gray, your brain.
All right. Number two, listening to Mozart makes you smarter.
Yeah, this one I thought was proven.
But I did, too.
Not.
Because Baby Einstein, if you've never heard of that, that is parents who live in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big, multi-million dollar industry of packaging classical music and poetry and stuff like that to play not just to your baby and toddler and growing child, but for your fetus as well, even.
Yeah.
The Mozart effect is what it's called.
Right.
Your baby's going to be smarter.
Apparently, the Mozart effect is trademarked by a guy named Dan Campbell,
who
basically puts together Mozart and CDs and books and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is this Mozart effect was first noted in the 50s, I think, by an ear, nose, and throat doctor named Albert Tomatis.
Yep.
And he said that
You say Tomatis, I say Tomatis.
He said that his patients who were struggling with speech and auditory disorders showed improvement when they listened to Mozart specifically. And then in the 90s, somebody else apparently conducted a test at the University of California, Irvine, that showed that people's IQ scores improved after listening to Mozart. And then the Mozart effect was born.
Well, so based on these studies, I would think that it does make you smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So is that true?
Apparently not necessarily, no.
Because these are all myths.
Yeah, that UC Irvine study in particular was kind of taken out of context, I get the impression.
Yeah.
And they were saying, well, we never said it makes you smarter. We just said that it improved people's ability on the specific temporal spatial test.
Yeah.
This one specific thing. We didn't say it makes you smarter.
Right.
That's the popular media that did that.
So things got a little twisted around over time.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they have not been able to duplicate these results from that original test.
Yeah.
So it turns out it probably won't hurt you any.
Right.
But listening to classical music is not going to actually make you smarter.
But they have found that learning to play music it can do a lot of stuff. It improves concentration, self-confidence, coordination.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you mentioned people playing Mozart to get the Mozart effect for their fetuses.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the one that you get a new wrinkle in your brain every time you learn something?
I knew that wasn't true.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like an angel gets his wings every time a bell rings.
Totally. That is not true, but there are some cool little factoids in here. One of which is that by the time you reach 40 weeks old, you have the same brain. It will get larger, of course, but you have all the same little folds and crevices called gyri and sulci all folded up together. And the reason it's folded up together is because our brain is large and the skull isn't. So it needed to scrunch itself in there as we evolved. And I think if you unfolded all that, the brain would be the size of a tennis court?
No, that's the intestines.
Right. A pillowcase.
Right.
Okay, that's still pretty big.
Yeah, it's huge. And that's why we're so smart. Which kind of leads us to another myth.
All right.
That humans have the biggest brain, which is not the case. Which makes sense to me.
I thought this one was pretty cool, actually.
A lot of people walking around think that because we're so smart, we must have the biggest brain.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, no, a whale's going to have a bigger brain than a human brain.
That is true.
Because whales are enormous.
Yep. Our brain's about 3 pounds.
Yeah.
A whale, sperm whale's about, 17 pounds.
Yeah. Which is a huge brain.
Yeah.
So why aren't sperm whales running the planet? And the reason why, it doesn't really matter the size of the brain. It's the size of the brain to the rest of the body. That ratio is what matters.
Yeah, I thought that was super interesting. They used dolphins as an example because a dolphin's brain is about the same size of a human's brain. Mm-hmm. Dolphins are super smart.
Right.
But an average dolphin weighs about 350 pounds. I don't know. Does it say how much the average adult weighs? It's not 350 pounds.
I would say, depending on whether it's male or female, anywhere between 100 to 200 pounds.
Whether or not
average
you're in Detroit.
Somewhere in there.
Sorry. And then they also go on to name some other animals, which was just sort of cute to think about. A beagle's brain is 2.5 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little beagle.
They're very cute.
And a sparrow has a brain that weighs less than half an ounce.
Right.
That's adorable.
So again, though, it's the brain size to body size ratio. In humans, it's 1 to 50. Most other mammals, it's 1 to 180.
Yeah.
And then in birds, it's 1 to 220 typically.
Yeah, but we do have humans compared to mammals. We have the largest cerebral cortex.
Right.
Which is really where, like, that's the money section.
It's also the newest part of our brain. It's on the outermost surface,
yeah.
And that's where all the higher functions are carried out.
And that's what really separates us.
That's why we run the planet.
Otherwise, we'd just be orangutans.
What about subliminal messages? And we learn from those.
That is a falsehood, sir. I guess that's the spoiler. All these are false.
Yeah.
But
well, they're myths.
Yeah, they're myths. But back in the 1950s, there was a marketing executive, a researcher named James Vickery, who did, you know, everyone always heard, you know, you go to the movies and they flash up Coca-Cola and popcorn.
I thought that was a myth.
I did too, but that was true. They did that in 1957.
Yeah, there's a still in this article from the movie Picnic starring Kim Novak.
That's awesome.
And over Kim's face, it says, "Hungry? Eat popcorn." And it's from a frame of the movie.
So that's 1/3,000th of a second. And Vickery said, you know what? Sales increased in the theater by 18% for popcorn. I'm sorry, for drinks, and by 57% for popcorn, thanks to these messages.
Yeah, and everybody said, okay, well, we're very interested in basically psychologically manipulating everybody into buying our products. So
yeah.
They started putting that stuff in jingles and in movies and television.
Yeah.
And they found pretty quickly that it actually doesn't have an effect.
Yeah, well, they banned it, first of all. The FCC banned it in 1974 mm-hmm. because
right.
they did think it worked at the time.
Oh, okay.
But then later on, it turns out that James Vickery just lied about the results.
Yeah.
Not true at all.
He's like, hey, I was a sales guy, not a scientist. What did you expect? like you said, the FCC banned subliminal advertising in general, which was a good move because if it did work, that's not okay.
No.
But a lot of people still think that it's still around and that it actually does work.
Yes, but it is not true, and they even tested this in Canada, evidently on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They flashed the message, call now, during a broadcast, and I guess nobody called.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't give a number.
It was a sad, right. It was
people
a
are just like,
experiment.
I feel like I need to call somebody, but I don't get it.
I wondered, though, like, if they were studying the wrong thing. Like, call now makes sense.
Right.
But what if it has to be much more explicit? Like, hungry? Eat popcorn. You can eat popcorn. Like, maybe that would make you grab a bite of popcorn if it were in your lap.
Right.
Maybe it has to be more direct. Like, hungry? Go buy popcorn at the front. At concession stand now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because then your brain would obey that command.
Interesting.
Rather than a roundabout command that's the result of something you have to do, telling you to go do that thing. Maybe that would work.
So you're leaving the door open for this, for further testing.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Subliminal, below the limen, or lemon, which is the threshold of our conscious awareness.
Yeah. It looks like limen when by itself.
That's what's in Sprite.
But if you said subliminal, then somebody would just punch you upside the head. You know?
Yeah. Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 2512928887, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's rainwater. Sip the sky. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Where are we now?
We are on the idea that brain damage is always permanent.
I didn't know that this was a thing. I didn't know that people said that.
Sure.
I never heard that.
Well, I think the point of it is, you know, that the brain can't repair itself once it's damaged. And that's absolutely not true.
No, it's not true.
The brain is extremely resilient. It's so much so that there's this thing called plasticity.
Yeah.
Which is, it kind of ties into that idea that you get a new wrinkle when you learn something.
Right.
That's not true, but your brain can rewire itself. That's how you learn and unlearn behaviors through brain plasticity.
Yeah. So I guess there's some truth in that neurons, once they are damaged, they cannot grow back.
Right.
But thanks to plasticity, that will make new neural connections in sometimes surprising ways, which is why if you've had a stroke and damaged part of your brain, you can relearn to speak, perhaps, if you've lost that ability,
right,
by forging these new connections.
There's a girl out there who has only one hemisphere of her brain. That's it.
Born that way?
I don't remember if she was born that way or if it was the result of surgery or damage or something, but she's got half of a brain. Her brain has just one hemisphere, and she has binocular vision. She can see out of both eyes, which they had no idea how that was going on. And they finally went in and looked, I guess using an MRI, and they found that her optic nerve that should be connected to the missing hemisphere had basically grown to go patch into another part of her brain on the other side. And it basically hijacked this other part of her brain and was using it for sight.
That is unbelievable.
That's the brain.
I wonder what you lose, though. I wonder if it forges a connection and at the expense of another. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, could she be like, man, I can see through both eyes, but I can't tie my shoe any longer?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Interesting.
But, I mean, the brain would say, well, it's better you can see. Somebody else can tie your shoes.
Well, that makes me wonder, though. I wonder if there is an order to it all. Like, if the brain knows what's more important.
Yes, there is, as a matter of fact.
And
this ties into that idea that you only use 10% of your brain.
Wow. All right, let's hear it. Well, that's not true, by the way.
It's a
myth.
Right. And actually, that one has a pretty interesting origin, doesn't it?
Yeah. They're not quite sure where it came from. It seems like it's always been around, though, the notion that you only use 10% of your brain.
Yeah.
But they think it may have come from American psychologist William James in the early 1900s when he said the average person rarely achieves but a small portion of his or her potential.
Right.
And that was just sort of twisted into 10% of your brain is used. And people... You know, you see people taking advantage of this notion all the time with self-help books, like tap into the other 90%, and it's just bunk.
Right. And this is where it ties in. It is bunk in that all regions, all physical regions of your brain are being used.
Yes.
But there's a theory that's around for savantism that explains savantism, which I want to do someday.
Yeah.
We need to write the article on it.
But we've covered it a lot in different areas.
It's so fascinating.
Totally.
There's a theory right now that savantism is from the result of like brain damage.
Uh-huh.
What savantism is the result of the brain's tyranny of the frontal lobe is what it's called.
Really?
And basically the idea is that your frontal lobe decides what's important.
Uh-huh.
And it bosses around all the other regions of your brain.
I see. I could see
that. To carry out this very smooth, efficient, streamlined process that basically it decides is the most important.
Huh.
And in doing so, it casts to the side a lot of other stuff, like the ability to make great art.
Right.
Or the ability to count a bunch of matches that just fell on the floor. Whatever.
Yeah.
And that savantism is the result of this executive function, this tyranny of the frontal cortex being disrupted.
Yeah.
So that maybe you aren't just the most efficient shark in the tank
right.
any longer. And you're not out there and like going and like trying to compete and beat everybody else.
Uh-huh.
But there's all these other things that are now free to just kind of blossom, like artistic, deep, amazing artistic
interesting
abilities.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the theory.
Boy, and we're just now learning this stuff.
But it suggests that maybe we do
yeah.
only use a portion of our abilities, not physical. Like we're using 100% of the physical parts of our brain, but what we're using it for is that issue.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So there's definitely something to that.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I trip out on the brain a lot, like when I'm studying it for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get sidetracked. Like this morning, I was reading this article, and I just had one of those little flights of fancy where it amazed me that I was looking at these printed shapes on a paper that formed words into sentences that I understood and had meaning. And I just was amazed by the brain just laying in bed this morning. I was like, my God.
That's nice.
Like I'm reading these words that make sense, and I'm speaking words that have a symbol form on a paper, and I promise you I wasn't on LSD
right.
this morning, but I just had one of those moments where it just like totally amazed me that I was even able to read.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the brain basically made you impressed with itself.
Yes, it did.
And while you mentioned LSD, I guess we can say in passing, apparently drugs do not create holes in your brain.
That is not true. And there's a lot of back and forth over how much damage drugs do to your brain at all,
mm-hmm.
How repairable that damage is. And there are studies going all the time about long-term drug use and the results. One of them interestingly found that they think that some long-term use of some drugs can cause structures in the brain to grow.
Yeah.
And that is why addicts may have a hard time kicking the habit.
Yeah.
Because they've grown a certain part of their brain, I guess, to
your reward
depend
circuit
on that. Yeah.
Your limbic system is strengthened through
it's
that.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And alcohol does not kill brain cells. It damages the dendrites that we've talked about.
Yeah.
And those are the ends of the neurons where the connections are taking place, I guess.
Right. So it makes your neurons talk sideways to one another.
Yeah, like the brain cells are still there, but they just can't talk
They're
to
like,
one another.
I love you, pal.
Yeah, pretty much. And there's something, a neurological disorder called Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. And that is can result in a loss of neurons in the brain. But that's basically what I think of when I think someone has, like, pickled themselves
right.
with alcohol.
But
that's kind of what's going on.
It's actually not the alcohol that's killing brain cells. It's from
right.
a deficiency in thiamine.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so if you have a thiamine deficiency, you can get this Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, and that's a B vitamin.
Yeah.
And if you are an alcoholic, you typically aren't absorbing your thiamine like you would if you weren't an alcoholic, which is why it's associated with alcoholism, but it's not alcohol killing brain cells.
Right, and it's much easier for me just to say they've pickled themselves
right.
on booze, which yeah. is really sad. We're laughing, but it is super sad.
Yes, it is.
If you've ever met anyone that was pickled
well, yeah,
after years of alcohol abuse.
Any addict suffering as a result of their addiction is extremely sad.
It is.
Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
and you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's Still Rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's Sparkling Rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 25129288 87, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Sip the sky. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
So that's all I got. How many was that?
Seven-ish, eight-ish.
Six and a half.
Something like that. if you want to learn the fate of the other remaining brain myths from this top 10 list, type in brain myths in the search bar at howstuffworks.com, and it will bring this article up.
And actually, we sort of had the issue with one of them we left off was the decapitation.
Uh-huh.
They said it was a myth, I guess? I didn't even read it.
Kind of.
But didn't we say it was...
No, they even say in there, like, yeah, it's going to last for a couple of seconds or whatever, like, which is what we said in the podcast. But for some reason, they made that seem like, but that's nothing.
Right.
But then they said that it's an extremely painful way to die because you are conscious afterward. It was kind of a cluster.
Mixed messages.
Yeah.
All right.
So I said search bars means it's time for listener mail.
Yes, I'm going to call this... poopy time. We did our podcast on fecal transplants, and we've had all manner of poopy emails coming in. And I'm going to share one from Jacob Carnes. Hi, Josh, Chuck, and Jerry. And he spelled Jerry right. I just finished the fecal transplant podcast and felt compelled to write in after you mentioned the norovirus, which I was afflicted with about 2 weeks ago. Didn't last long, just about 24 hours, but it hit instantly like someone flipped a switch. I will spare you the details, but it was nearly the worst I've ever felt. The day after was nearly the best I have ever felt due to the euphoria of still being alive. But for the following week, my gut felt like it just wasn't right. My hunch is that it was really messed with the internal flora.
He needs some kombucha.
What's that?
Oh, it's this like fermented, basically like probiotic drink.
Oh, yeah?
That's, I guess it's Eastern. It's really delicious. There's some good, delicious kombucha drinks out there, and it supposedly promotes colonization in your gut.
You drinking that stuff?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where you get it?
Whole Foods has this kind. It's called GTs.
Uh-huh.
And they have a specific flavor called Gingerade that's just, it's so good.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
All right. He follows up to say, and this is my favorite part. Like I said, I felt compelled to write after you mentioned the norovirus, but I felt obligated after you brought up the terror of your young selves experience when you had the misfortune of using the bathroom after your father's. Remember that? Old man poop?
Yeah.
When I was a child, my father liked to enjoy a cigarette while doing his business.
So 70s.
It is very 70s. So when I heard the call shortly after him, I was subjected to the putrid number 2 smell mixed with the stale cigarette smoke. Mm. And to this day, I have trouble separating the latter from the former. As I grew up, the need to look cool convinced me to try and take up the habit of smoking.
To look cool on the toilet.
Numerous times. But my childhood association has at least helped me come to my senses. So he never learned to smoke because he associated it with his dad's poop.
That's good.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
Thanks for another great podcast, guys. Jacob Carnes.
Yeah, I guess for all of you smoking out there, like...
Take it to the toilet. See what happens.
Like, take a big whiff of poop while you're smoking a cigarette, and that'll probably break you of your habit.
Boo.
Mixing disgust with anything will break you of habits, right?
Yeah.
If you have a habit-breaking tip, bad habit breaking tip, we want to hear it because that's a demonstration of brain plasticity, as you know. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@Discovery.com. And you can join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.